and we host Geek in the Streets,
a podcast where we share knowledge with each other on different geek and nerd topics. So join us for the conversation.
Starting now.
Welcome to Geek in the Streets. I'm Ian.
And I'm Arielle.
And this is a podcast for the geek and the nerd subjects you love as if you are part of the conversation. And Arielle, what are we swimming in today?
Today we're going to talk about Aquaman. Now, you were pretty sure we already did Aquaman. I've checked all my stocks. I don't think we have. We've done the Justice League, but I don't think we've done an Aquaman.
Yeah. I just feel like at one point I talked about Throne of Atlantis on this podcast, and I thought, I was like, did we not do Aquaman? Because that would be like the big storyline that I read.
Listen,
that we talked about.
Listen, if we did, then this is us just revisiting Aquaman.
Okay.
But so I really can't find that.
I don't think we did, but yeah.
I don't think he had his own thing. Anyway, so we're doing this in honor of the upcoming Aquaman 2 film in the DCEU. Mm-hmm. So we're doing a little old school episode and going to do the background of Aquaman, the character.
Let's do it.
All right. So starting with his history in DC Comics, he was created by Mort Wessinger and Paul Norris. And his first appearance was in More Fun Comics number 73 in 1941.
Back in the day when you would just call comics More Fun instead of having some creative title.
Funny. His alter ego is Arthur Curry, and he is an Atlantean demigod, but sometimes he's called like a human Atlantean hybrid. Depends on the storyline. He is the son of a human lighthouse keeper and the queen of Atlantis, and he goes by the name of Orin in Atlantis.
Now, quick question, or I should say trivia. Do you know why his name is Arthur?
Because of King Arthur?
King Arthur.
Well, that was easy.
Yep.
So his abilities, he has all the usual ones, the superhuman strength, blah, 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 speed, blah, blah.
Resilience.
But he also has a telepathic control of aquatic life. He has divine empowerment. He has water manipulation through his trident, through control of his trident, hydrokinesis, and magic.
So I will say he does contain all of that, but in Atlantis, there are much more practiced magicians than he is. So I always would see, for example, who was Aqualad and then later became Tempest, like him and Mira have much better like magic, you know, the water manipulation and all that kind of stuff than Aquaman himself.
Gotcha. So some team affiliations were the Justice League and the offshoots of the Justice League, but he was one of the founding members in the Silver Age of comics.
Yes, he was. 1941. That's super, super like early in comics.
Yeah, we did the Justice League episode if you want to go back and listen to that. Some of his main partnerships, he does have a wife named Mira, Aqualad, Aquagirl. He has a mentor named Volko. There's somebody named Dolphin, and there's a lot more. Some of his main villains include Black Manta and Ocean Master, who is his half-brother. Mm-hmm. There were some other Aquamen. Are Aquamens?
Mans.
There's Joseph Curry, Jackson Hyde, who was like his protege. And then there was a mysterious Adam Waterman during World War II.
Ooh.
And so, Ian, you want to talk about some important storylines?
Yeah, first I'll kind of give like what we're all here for is the difference between the Submariner and Aquaman. We all want to know that, right? So I would always say Aquaman to me is a little bit more of a lighter character, especially in his earlier portrayals, but it doesn't stay that way all the way through. One of the most important storylines, I would say, in comics, but specifically for Aquaman, is when Black Manta kills Aquaman's baby. Let me say that again. In the comics, you know, Aquaman was always a bit, little bit lighter and such, but there's a storyline, I believe it was in the late 70s or early 80s, one of the two. It was definitely in the Bronze Age, where Aquaman's son gets killed by one of his enemies. And so there are also other storylines where Aquaman, he loses his hand, he grows out his beard, he gets long hair, and that's where we kind of get, I'd say, the template for what would be the Jason Momoa version of Aquaman, a little bit more rough and tumble. And to me, that was always more Aquaman going towards a Submariner type of character.
Yeah, so it's interesting you say that about his like lighter portrayal. You know, that's kind of what he was known as. I made a note about this. The 1960s portrayal of him in the comics, but also in the Super Friends show, is kind of what he became known for and later mocked for in like other forms of media. You know, he was kind of seen as like a dweeby character.
Yes, he was absolutely portrayed, I think, because of, you know, the memification of the Super Friends cartoon, especially, there was this idea that the ability to talk to sea life is no power at all. So, even though he has, you know, on par, he could fist fight with Wonder Woman and all that kind of stuff. You know, nobody took him seriously. But, you know, his 60s comics, his 70s comics were probably like a little bit lighter fare. And then when they started to make him a little bit more serious through the 70s and the 80s. And then in the 90s, they go full what I call 90s character, where he's got, you know, a hook for a hand. He eventually gets like a water magic hand as well. And then they kind of go back to formula in the 2000s, and they make him a little bit more, you know, the Aquaman you remember. But it was specifically Geoff Johns, who we talked about in the Green Lantern episode, and we talked about in the Flash episode, and I've called him the Repo Man of comics. So he came in with Aquaman, and he said, no, absolutely, Aquaman is not a joke at all. He is an awesome character, and all these things he can do are really cool, and so I'm going to treat this with 100% seriousness. And he launched, you know, at first he was just using him in other books, but then he relaunched the Aquaman series, and that's where we're getting to probably my favorite slash the only real Aquaman story I really interacted with, because it was just insanely gorgeous, was Aquaman Throne of Atlantis. And it's a story between, you know, Aquaman himself, Vulko, Ocean Master. It's got some Black Manta in there, but it's a really, I want to say it's almost like a Game of Thrones type political intrigue story. And the art is by Ivan Reiss. And it's amazing art. So they had previously teamed up on like Green Lantern and some other books and stuff. But this was a real standout. And just like it did for Green Lantern or Flash, it turned Aquaman for this brief period of time where Geoff Johns was on it into like one of the premier characters at DC Comics. So much so when DC went into their animated DVDs and stuff, this was adapted as one of the earlier ones that they did. And it was great as an adaptation. I'm sure we're going to talk about it in a little bit. But yeah, if I was going to say, you're like, Aquaman's a joke, I don't care about Aquaman, read Throne of Atlantis all the way through and tell me it's just not an awesome story.
Yeah. So what's like the day-to-day Aquaman comic like, or have you mainly read him in Justice League?
I've read some other stuff. I would say Aquaman's day-to-day is a little bit more political, because he is a ruler of a kingdom and he takes his job very seriously. So there's been times in comics, just like the Submariner, I will say, where he's been in and out of the whole Atlantis thing. And, you know, I'd say the standard is like, you know, there'd be one faction of the Atlantean people who are trying to get him to do one thing, where there's somebody else trying to get him to do another. And then, of course, Ocean Master comes and ruins the day or something, or Black Manta starts attacking a sub, or, you know, you name it. So this, it's, there's always this, you know, you have your standard superhero fare where the superhero has to come in and save the day. But it's also laced with the idea of, you know, politics and what it is to be a ruler. But what I would say is that, you know, Aquaman, he takes his job very seriously, and he has to make these sacrifices as a king. So you'll see things where it's like Aquaman himself, Arthur Curry, is a really good guy, very square, you know, kind of like a Superman type character, but he will make tough decisions where people have to die or like something like that, because he's a king. And he goes, no, as a king, I have to do the things that are best for the kingdom. So you'll always get these moments where you're a little bit like, oh man, I thought Aquaman was a dork, but like he just made a very kingly decision that isn't great, you know, or something like that. So yeah, that's what I would say a day-to-day in the life of Aquaman is like.
Very cool. And then, so have you read a lot of his individuals too, or you really read him in group books? Or
so the individual comics that I was collecting, like I said, when Geoff Johns came on the book, I have,
do you
some
have any of the old originals or anything
I
like
have
that?
Some of the a few of the ones from the 90s. I think I've mentioned on the podcast before, my first introduction to comic books was a giant stack of comics that was just random stuff from the early 90s. Aquaman, there was an Aquaman book in there. And I've read some things here and there, but never a character I followed. I feel, you know, you kind of pick your water dude, and I picked the Submariner.
Oh, you can only have one.
There can be only one. But that being said, I don't dislike Aquaman in the slightest.
Is he your least favorite of the Justice League, though?
No. It might be Martian Manhunter is my least favorite. I never connected with that character. But
I always forget about that guy.
Yeah. See, there you go. but I like Aquaman. He's just not someone I expressly followed. But like I said, I've read some great stories with him. And in other books and team books, Justice League, you know, crossover events, you know, even Flashpoint. You know, he was a big player in Flashpoint. So there's been a lot of stuff that he's a part of that I'm like, oh, we can't get rid of Aquaman. Like, he's super important. But mm-hmm. I just never followed him as a solo character.
All right, I got you. Well, anything else you want to say about the comics?
No, I think we got it. I know that the Bronze Age Aquaman stuff is really near and dear to a lot of people's heart.
I mean, he's been around for 80 years, if you think about it.
Yeah, and so my full disclosure is, sorry I haven't read more. I'll get on that.
I'm kind of curious about the more fun comics. Like, I'm just kind of interested in finding one to read.
The title, yeah.
Although probably finding one nowadays is like expensive.
I was going to say, do you have a million bucks to spend?
Yeah. I just want to read one. Yeah. I'm sure there's some, you don't think there's any like...
digital versions?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we would need. Yeah. Because like, no, you're not going to get a more fun comics number 73.
Just to be able to read it.
Yeah. I wonder what it runs for these days.
Probably pretty high, right? One of, yeah. Especially if it's his original storyline.
And with the movies coming out, you know, yeah. That always boosts it like mm-hmm. double.
We should mention he is like a blonde-haired dude in the comics, right? That's his 60s yeah. portrayal.
So his,
that
his,
I was talking about.
He has that classic blonde superhero look, almost like a Steve Rogers or something like that. Blonde hair, blue eyes. Does he have blue eyes or green eyes? I don't know. I don't gaze into them enough.
I feel like they're green, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, it could be.
He wears that little green mask though, right? So maybe that's what I'm thinking.
No, he doesn't have a green mask. That's Green Lantern. He has green pants.
Maybe that's one thing. Doesn't he have a mask though? He's like a little
no mask.
Eye cover?
No mask, yeah. He's a no mask character like Superman and such. But he's got you know, blonde hair, very much a white dude. And so when we get into the casting of Jason Momoa, you know, we'll see that that can change over time.
Oh yeah, I don't know why I thought he had a thinking his little belt.
Yeah, so he's got his outfit, which a lot of people made fun of, which I thought they do now beautifully.
It's very Halloween-y.
Yeah, it's a orange shirt, green pants, and then with gold trim and stuff for like the belt and all of that. And he has that scale mail thing going on for his shirt. And when Ivan Reis did it, it didn't look goofy at all, you know? So
I see some of the newer ones you're talking about. They're pretty cool.
Looks pretty cool, right?
Yeah. All right. Well, you want to talk about some other adaptations?
Let's do it.
All right. So I only put a couple in here because I thought you could kind of pepper in some along the way.
Sure.
There have been, of course, multiple animated series, starting with the Superman / Aquaman Adventure Hour in 1967.
Now, is that not totally random? Like, Superman, the marquee character, and then Aquaman? You're like, You didn't kind of want to go Batman there? Or?
And then that kind of folded over into Super Friends, which we know you don't like Super Friends.
Not a fan.
Yeah, we know that. And then you have Justice League / Justice League Unlimited. Now, you like these ones, don't you?
Right. And so he was first portrayed in Justice League, I would say almost as a villain in the initial episodes, because it was kind of like Atlantis attacks. Now, both DC and Marvel do this with their water characters, where it's like Atlantis goes, Earth, you've been poisoning our oceans for too long, you know, and then they attacked us landlubbers. So they started out like that, and then eventually he gets folded into the roster and such, and they even do the death of the baby thing, and that's how he loses his hand in the cartoon. So Justice League and Justice League Unlimited was always a great distillation of whatever they were trying to adapt, so I highly, highly recommend. And like I said, in Justice League Unlimited, he's just part of the roster.
And then he was in Batman the Brave and the Bold
series. I did not watch that one.
And then he's obviously in the DC Universe animated original movies. Ian, do you have any favorite of those that he is in that you wanted to talk about?
Well, as I mentioned at the top of the episode, we had Throne of Atlantis, which was my favorite Aquaman comic I've ever read. And therefore, it is also my favorite DC Universe animated original movie that starred Aquaman that I've ever seen as well.
Do you know who voices him?
I can't remember off the top of my head, but
it's Matt Lanter. He does a lot of voice acting. You would recognize him if you saw him.
I would sure recognize his voice, too.
Yeah, he does a lot of voice acting, but he is the voice for that movie, at least.
Okay, yeah.
Well, and he is for The Death of Superman, so he's probably like one of their main
go-to
ones.
Yeah, Aquaman guy. Yeah, I remember thinking he had a great Aquaman voice in that movie. So Matt Lanter or Lanter, how do you say it?
I don't know.
Matt? Great job.
Lanter is the way I was going to say it, but I don't know.
Matt Lantern? Green Lantern? You're getting crossed up.
But what about, are there any Justice League ones that you would like?
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously Flashpoint, because Aquaman is not portrayed in the best light, because the, you know, Themyscira and Atlantis are at war with each other.
Kind of forgot about that.
Yeah, so I would say that's pretty cool. And, you know, in some of the other Justice League cartoons, I see, man, I forget what the, when Batman goes and attacks all the Justice League. Yeah, Aquaman doesn't fare so well there. Well, they use the Batman contingency plans.
Mm.
I forget what that was. It was, what was it, Tower of Babel in the comics? But it was like Justice League Doom or something like that. That was pretty cool. So Aquaman, you know, like I said, kind of a standard character. Even by me, gets forgot sometimes, though.
Yeah. So there were some other live action times we've seen him. Do you know who played him in Smallville?
I know who played him in Smallville.
Who?
Alan Ritchson.
Yeah, so Alan Ritchson is Reacher, right?
Yes.
And one of
and
Ian's
he's definitely got
fave.
The face body of your classic blonde haired
yeah,
superhero.
Yeah, I could totally see. I've never made it that far to watch those episodes.
He's one of those guys that as he gets older looks more like a superhero, though.
Yeah, you know, we should do a Smallville podcast one day. Not getting off topic, but I loved Smallville. I just never finished it. I've tried twice. I tried rewatching a couple years ago. It's really fun to rewatch it because, like, there's so many people who are just big now. Like, Amy Adams was, like, an extra in it.
Yeah.
So many people. And our friend, Michael Rosenbaum, and Tom Welling are doing a... Oh, my gosh. I'm going to plug a podcast on
you
our
are.
Podcast.
We're not going to have to do that, Ian.
That is not what I sound like. They are doing a Smallville rewatch podcast, and it's been interesting to listen to. I forgot what it's called.
I know his is Inside of You, and then is it Small Talk? Is it?
I don't remember. It's something like that, but you can look it up. But it's been interesting to re-listen to and just kind of like. But I will say it's totally off topic. But every time, both times, and I need to just push through. I always quit when Clark gets the red
kryptonite,
and he's like starts turning to Chloe because I don't like Chloe. Hey, guess what? I was right about that in the long run.
Oh, getting political
right?
here.
That's not even political,
I know,
is
it? It's kind of weird, though.
Yeah, but I never liked her. And then, but I always quit when he gets the red kryptonite because I just can't get through that. Fun fact, did you know that, so did you see, oh yeah, you're the one who sent me that they confirmed that Chloe, the plan was originally Chloe was going to rebirth to Lois Lane and they were going to get together?
I sent you that.
You did, I know, you did.
Thank God they didn't go that
Thank
direction.
God. So, but from that, in Smallville, they did do an Aquaman pilot, but it wasn't Alan Ritchson. He talks about this Inside of You. It was actually Justin Hartley, who I really like. He is from This Is Us.
But he also played Green Arrow on Smallville.
Yeah.
So
weirdly,
it's like you have Alan Ritchson, who goes on later to become super famous. Justin Hartley, who goes on...
Hartley,
who goes on later to be super famous. And they're kind of like waffling over this character of Aquaman, which... Alan Ritchson was not thrilled about because he thought like it was like, oh, he came in and did this thing. It's like you're getting a pilot. And next thing you know, they've recast.
But I mean, it never took off. And honestly, if you want to chuckle, you should look at the pictures.
I've seen it.
Yeah,
I've seen it. Yeah,
it's funny. And Justin Hartley's a good looking dude, but somehow they messed it up with that.
Yeah. And even with Alan Ritchson, I wouldn't say costuming was the strong point of Smallville at all.
If I remember like the Aquaman pilot with Justin Hartley, he's wearing like a puka shell necklace and like a leather loincloth.
Oh my gosh.
Like that. If I remember, I can totally just be like, that's what I made up in my mind, but that's what I see when I think about it.
Well, we're about to find out because I'm pulling up pictures.
Oh,
that's
what a
Alan Ritchson
dorkfish.
As a young Aquaman.
I mean, the costume's not terrible, but it is a little like X-Men spacey more than watery.
Yeah. And then I'll pull up the Justin Hartley as Aquaman that we get, but you are right.
I told you puka shell. Now, he's not wearing a puka shell there.
But it is just like a...
Oh, cargo shorts instead of a loincloth. Yeah,
good looking dude in a situation type of thing. It's not like Aquaman. No, here we go. He's got necklaces. Yeah.
He wore dyed his hair blonde.
Yeah, so, not
great.
Yeah,
I can see why they didn't take off. It's a little, like, Baywatch-y meets Aquaman.
Yeah.
So, are there any ones that you can think of that I didn't talk about before we get into the DCEU?
Let's go to the DCEU. You want to take a break?
Yeah, I do want to take a break.
All right, let's see you on the other side. The Geek in the Streets podcast is supported by the Geek in the Streets podcast.
And listeners like you.
Well, not yet. And we are back for the attack to talk about Aquaman in the DCEU. That is the film universe of Justice League and Superman and Batman and all that kind of fun stuff. And we're going to see, did it take off?
Anyway,
the Snyderverse.
Yeah, so Arthur Curry is played by Jason Momoa. And so we like to jokingly refer to him as Aqua Bra on here.
Aqua Bro.
Yeah. What is he called him on The Flash that I thought was really funny?
I forget.
I forgot too, but I liked it. And it was, I was like, I got to remember that. You keep thinking while you talk.
I'm gonna not going to get it.
But I really liked that, and I can't remember in the Flash movie when he pops up. Anyways, so we first are introduced to him in Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, which is a mess of a movie, as we all know.
And we totally needed a clip of Aquaman in that movie, didn't we?
Yeah, totally.
Now, if you haven't listened to our Batman v Superman podcast, we didn't do one on that specifically, did we? We did it as part of something else?
I can't remember.
Well, we've talked about it, and needless to say, we didn't say a ton of good things about it. And one of the problems we mentioned was how they tried to shoehorn so much into the movie, including the introduction of Aquaman, which didn't make any sense because you just didn't need it. But that's Jason Momoa's first, impression to the audience on who Aquaman is. Now, let me ask you a question. We mentioned before Aquaman was about as white bread as you possibly could be for a character, and Jason Momoa obviously has Pacific Islander roots. What did you think of that casting, Ariel, and how do you think the audience took it?
I don't know a lot about Aquaman, to be fair, before I did this podcast, but I knew what he looked like or whatever. I honestly think they were casting this just so people aren't like, oh, Aquaman's a dork,
Yeah.
I think they were trying to make him cool, and so they picked this really cool, tough dude, Jason Momoa, and I kind of get where they're coming from, because, like, the Pacific Islander vibe is like a little more BA way to show it. Like, I know this is different. I know people are going to be mad at me, but like a Moana and like a, that was around the same time.
I think that was completely intentional. I don't think you're saying anything. Yeah. Like weird.
I'm not trying to be offensive. Yeah. I'm just saying like, I think they were kind of going for more of that vibe. I am not a huge Jason Momoa fan. I know that's I don't dislike him. He's just not like, the hottest guy I've ever seen, in my opinion. I mean, he's a good-looking dude, and he's huge, and he's, like, tough and, a BA. But, like, I've never been, like, hugely sold on him anyways. I kind of always pick fun at this Aquaman.
Right. So I will say, when...
Bro Sidon.
That was very was good. Like, very good.
I've always been trying to think of it this whole time.
Good job.
Bro Sidon.
I wouldn't have got that.
Yes.
So, I was a little, same as you, I was a little like, there's a reason they cast Jason Momoa, and it was to up the cool factor and to show us that Aquaman wasn't a dork, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which to me, always kind of gets to me a little bit, because I'm like, no, there are people that Aquaman's their favorite character, like, why not? But that being said, I looked at him and I said, oh, they're being influenced by the 90s comics more than they are by the 60s comics, which, as long as I can tie it to a comic book, there were comics where Aquaman had a beard and long hair, as long as I can do that, I'm happy. I definitely think he was a little bit more, James Hetfield than, other Aquaman we've seen in the past. But that being said, he seemed to, for what that universe needed, be a good fit.
Yeah, I will say it works in that universe.
And so much so that, his solo movie did better than a lot of the other DC movies, which is crazy.
I will say I like his solo movie. It's not, we're going to talk about it, but yeah, it was one that I was like, oh, this is fun. Whereas a lot of other ones, I'm like, God, these movies are terrible.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I think he kind of wore Jason Momoa, the Aquaman thing on his sleeve, and he very much was like, no, I'm making Aquaman cool. And I've told my Jason Momoa story on the podcast before. I've never been a huge fan of him. Right. Or so much that women always tell me how amazingly gorgeous he is. And I'm like, the huge beard, the long hair and stuff. I don't get why he gets to do that. And the rest of us guys, you say we look like homeless people when we do it. But when Jason Momoa does it, because he's big and buff, you love it. But then I was like, so I don't get it. And then at Comic-Con, he was walking by in the audience. He was giving everyone high fives. He was all pumped up and stuff. And he got within like 2 feet of me. And I looked at him, and this is going to sound a little suspect, but I'm just going to say it. I looked at him up and down, and I go, oh, I get it. I get it. I get why girls like this guy.
I'm still mad, though.
So then after that, I was like, yeah, I could consider myself kind of a fan. Now, I do think as an actor, sorry, I think he's a little limited in his range. You know, you never see him do, like, the full spectrum. But he is, like, one of those actors that picks his roles based off, you need Jason Momoa to fill that role.
Yeah.
And he made Aquaman his own, so I'll give him that.
I will say, though, you're kind of right where it fits in that universe. You know, everything in the Snyderverse or whatever the heck you want to call it is like big and bold. I mean, think of, you know, Ben Affleck as Batman. Like, you're in that like buff and, you know, so it wouldn't work to have like a more stoic, like kingly character. I don't think it would
like
work.
Like a Captain America doesn't work as well. Even Superman wasn't like that.
Yeah. Like, so I get what you're saying there. Now, I do have a question for you.
Yes.
If you were going to cast someone to look more like that classic, think like more your class, because, you know, rumor, we're skipping ahead. Of course, we're going to talk about the actual movies, but we're skipping ahead. Rumor is, you know, after this Aquaman movie, Jason Momoa is going to be done so that he can play Lobo in James Gunn universe, DC universe. So if they're going to recast Aquaman and say they want to do him more in like the kingly, stately role, he's going to be more of like the classic, you know, 60s, early, before the 1990s one, who do you think, do you have any thoughts in your head of who would be?
I'm going to back up just a little bit and say, I think that when James Wan came on board, he did something that I saw. I'm not sure if everybody else picked up on this with Ocean Master. I think Ocean Master Orm looks more like the Aquaman from the comics. I think that was intentional. He had blonde hair because in the comics, correct me if I'm wrong, I think Ocean Master has black hair. So I think he wanted to make, you know, what our version of Arthur would be, would act like, you know, the one from the comics who was a little bit more kingly and stuff. He turned that into the bad guy. So that would be one thing. Again, that's not me saying who I want. I'm saying I noticed that I think James Wan intentionally played with that.
Yeah.
I think he was like, look how he looks like your classic Aquaman, and we got the BA Aquaman over here who's your Aquaman. But if I was going to recast him in like a little bit more of the 60s comic vibe as opposed to the 90s comic vibe, Alan Ritchson.
Still?
Yeah.
Do you think he's a little too like big now? Like, I'm not talking, I'm like, he's like a little too bulky.
No.
You don't think so?
No, he's got that superhero face.
Do you think he can do the kingly side of things though? I'm trying to think like kingly side of things.
I think he could do it, but who would you pick?
I think Patrick Wilson's actually really not bad casting. You couldn't do it obviously.
So you just stole what I said. Who's your next choice? Alan Ritchson?
What about like, you're never going to get him for anything, but
Nikolai Coster-Waldau?
Yeah.
No, I'm done saying his name on the podcast, you know? It can only bring me pain.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of more like the stately, like you said, like Captain America E vibes. Let me think on that and I'll
Chris go. Evans?
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. You know, that's a good question. I only asked you because I don't.
What about Hemsworth?
Chris?
Yeah, Chris Hemsworth.
I don't think that would work. He's Marvel. He can't do that.
No, well, that's the thing.
You can do Liam, I guess. You don't like Liam.
No.
Okay, I got one, but he's not blonde, but this is like what I'm thinking when I'm thinking kingly. He's like Richard Madden. Rob Stark.
Okay.
Don't you think like that kind of, that's kind of the vibe I'm thinking like, portrayal wise
I could see that, yeah, in terms of like a little bit straight up more royal,
yeah, and like portrayal. That kingly,
you know. Now that you've mentioned Nikolai and Richard Madden,
I'm just thinking Game of Thrones.
Yeah, now we could start mining Game of Thrones and such. That's what we really need to do, but yeah. those would be great choices.
Yeah. So okay, we'll go back to Jason Momoa though. Not trying to take away from Jason Momoa, I think he fits in this universe. So we talked about Batman v Superman. So let's talk about Justice League. That's when we get the full on. We've done a whole podcast on that, so we're not doing Snyder Cut versus, what's the other one?
Joss Whedon, cut?
I guess regular.
Whedon cut?
But we get a little bit more Aquaman in that, and he's kind of at the height of his power already, though.
Yeah, it's kind of doesn't make sense the way...
I like him in that sweater.
This whole thing broke down in terms of like, where he was in Batman v Superman, where he was in Justice League, and then where he goes in Aquaman.
Right.
Like, none of it makes complete sense.
But isn't Aquaman, like, a prequel to Justice League?
No.
Oh, it's not?
No.
I thought it was.
I don't think it is.
Because I thought it's like, his origin story. It just has flashbacks.
No, because he has the trident from Justice League in it, and then it gets broken, and then he's got to go get the better trident.
Oh, okay. I don't remember all that.
Yeah.
So anyways, let's talk about the Aquaman movie since we did that. Came out in 2018, directed by James Wan, also starring Amber Heard, Willem Dafoe, Patrick Wilson, Nicole Kidman, Dolph Lundgren, Yahya Abdul-Mateen II,
Tamara Morrison.
Yeah, a.k.a.
Boba Fett.
Boba Fett and more. So we'll talk a little bit about this because we haven't done this movie on the podcast. I didn't want to do like a full plot like we always do. But, you know, this one is his first solo adventure. He goes to Atlantis in this one, whereas we don't see that in Justice League, obviously. And he meets, so Willem Dafoe plays his mentor, Vulko.
Mm-hmm.
Not a bad guy for once. Not a bad guy.
He spins a staff.
Yeah. Nicole Kidman is his mother. Boba Fett is his father. And then Patrick Wilson plays his brother, who is one of the villains in the movie.
Yes.
Ocean Master. And then Yahya plays the Black Manta. And I will say this. I don't remember a lot of details about the movie. I can be honest with you about that. But the two things I remember are that Yahya is incredible as Black Manta. Like, a great villain, in my opinion. The costume looked so cool.
Let me pause there.
He was so cool. What?
His costume was one of the best iterations of translating a comic book costume to film I've ever seen. And that's not an easy costume with the big head and the red eyes. Like, it could come out so dorky. But when I saw it in a preview, I was like, this looks like the game Injustice or something. Like, it looked so cool. But sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to say that was one of the best comic costumes in a movie.
No, I remember being really impressed with Yahya because this was like, I think around the time then, like a little bit later, Watchmen came out, and I was just like, he is incredible. We've sung his praises on the podcast before, but I thought he was incredible, and I thought Patrick Wilson was really incredible too. So it's bad for me that the two main characters I take away are the villains. Like, I don't remember being blown away by Amber Heard, and I know that's not colored by the whole trial stuff. I always thought she was kind of flat anyways.
Yeah.
And you know, Momoa was doing his normal thing. I had no problems with him, but I just remember being really, really, really impressed with the two villains. Like, I thought Black Manta was such a cool villain.
Now I am going to hand this one to Momoa a little bit more and say, yes, I agree with you that like those two guys, like really, I think were standouts in the movie, but I think the charisma you need to carry a movie, for some reason, with Jason Momoa's skill set and stuff, it just lined up perfectly with this movie, and it made it a $1 billion movie. So I don't think you could have done that without Momoa's charisma. You know, there was like a little bit more playful, a little bit more, you know,
it's lighter for bro-y, a DC,
you know, and yeah, and it was definitely lighter,
which was nice.
But then they did something that I really love, and to me, it felt like Snyder's approach to Aquaman was to tell the audience that this isn't the Aquaman you know and love. Ours is way cooler. And then when this movie comes out, if you go through the story of the movie, James Wan is saying, no. Aquaman is cool. He gives him the classic costume. He gives him the trident. He uses his telepathy to talk to animals. And there's something I really respect about that. Now, I will say James Wan is not my favorite filmmaker. I think
What else did he do?
Well, he's done like Fast and the Furious stuff and like all that. But like, I think he's got an edge of maybe a little cheese to his style. Yeah. But that being said, his approach to Aquaman for me really worked to prove to the audience that, like Geoff Johns did in Throne of Atlantis, yes, Aquaman as he is, as he was created, is actually cool.
Yeah, I remember it being a fun movie. I liked it. I remember some of the CGI being a little like, the water stuff. I have trouble with like water scenes because I really didn't like it in Black Panther 2 either.
When the scale is so large, like the final battle scenes or maybe the size of Atlantis, the city.
Yeah, I remember Atlantis,
the city. It can be a little PlayStation 3 graphics.
Yeah,
you know?
I remember being a little bit like, woof, you know.
Well, not as bad as The Flash, though, I'll tell you that much.
No, definitely not. Anything else you want to say about that movie?
Yeah, you know, I have actually seen it more than once.
I've only seen it once.
Yeah, I've seen it twice. And I still...
That is more than once.
Yeah, I still enjoy it.
Yeah, I'll watch it again. It's not on my, like, do not fly list.
But it's one of those things, like, if it's on, I'll definitely watch it.
It's probably one of the DC movies I would be more prone to watch. Now, my favorite DC movie is, like, the first Wonder Woman with Gal Gadot.
Yes.
Like, that's, in my opinion, the best one.
Better movie.
But this one would be on the rotation. Like, if I'm on an airplane.
Yeah, this one's up there in terms of, like, you know, it's better than Batman v Superman.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah. I'd be more likely to watch this than Justice League, too.
Yeah, totally.
So then he's made a couple appearances. I guess he was on the Peacemaker show, which we have not watched. Mm-hmm. He came up in the after credit scenes of the Flash movie. And then the big thing is he's going to have his second solo movie, which I think is officially the end of the Snyderverse, right?
Yes.
And then we'll be transitioned into the
James Gunnverse or whatever.
Gunnverse? What are they calling that? I don't think you can call it Gunnverse. That doesn't sound right. James Gunn's DCU. And so the Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom is what it is called. It will be released December 22nd, 2023. So coming up here in a couple weeks, right before Christmas. For some reason, that feels like it works for me. Like Aquaman feels like it would work as a Christmas release film. I don't know why. Don't quote me on that. I mean, do quote me, but don't ask me for justification.
Yeah.
Same director, James Wan. A lot of the original characters are back. I will say, so I've seen like different cuts of different trailers. Like I've seen different trailers. One of the trailers looks great. And that's the one that has a lot of Black Manta. That one looks great. And then there's another one, like the one where he's like pulling the clothing off the line. Then he's talking about having a baby that I'm like, ugh, like this could like that one. It's weird. It looks like completely different movies. But because there's the one with like Black Manta, and then they go and they get Patrick Wilson out of like the desert or something like that.
Yeah.
No, that's this one. Oh, you mean trailer?
Trailer, yeah.
And they go and they get Patrick Wilson out of the desert, and they like have to rehydrate him or something like that. And he's like fighting all those bad guys on the beach, or he's fighting all those guys on the beach. Like that looks great.
It looks
fun. And then there's another clunky trailer, and I'm like, so what is it actually going to be?
Right, you know, and that makes me worried because movies that of recent times, you think of something like the Marvels, where they had these like wildly disparate trailer styles, and it's their kind way of cuts. Way of canvassing the audience, being like, oh, maybe people want funny, maybe people, and it's like, yeah. No, what people want is the movie, and they want a solid cohesive statement that's cohesive. And so it makes me a little worried that the trailers seemed so different from each other,
because
Flash was like that, Marvel's was like that. I mean, all the movies that were kind of like, We're like that. Black Adam. I
think I'll definitely watch it. Like,
yes.
Do you think we'll see it in theaters, or you want to wait?
We'll probably see it in theaters.
Yeah, I mean, I'll definitely, because like I'm really invested in the villains. Like I said, like I want to see Yaya up there. I want to see
Patrick Wilson.
I have no bad feelings about Momoa. So, you know, I'm curious too how they're going to handle the Amber Heard situation, since they kind of like, it was in the middle of filming this that all that really happened, right? So they were trying to get her out of the movie and stuff like that.
Yeah. So I'm going to watch it. I have a prediction. I think this movie is going to do terribly in the theater.
Yeah,
and I'll tell you why.
Right.
I think we're getting a lot of the aftershocks of the destruction of the Snyderverse, where the movie studios keep trying to say, No, we're still putting 100% into this. Don't worry, guys. Go ahead and watch it. But why would we care about something that's over already? Mm-hmm. It's already over. So I think these movies aren't going to attract people, even if it's a good movie. It's not going to attract anyone.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. It's kind of like how I thought the Black Widow movie was really good, but since you already knew she was dead, it's kind of like, who cares?
Yeah.
That's probably how people feel.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, is there anything else you would like to say about Aquaman?
Aquaman, not as dorky as you thought, is he?
Okay. Well, we've been the nerds, and now you're in the herd about Aquaman. If you go to see Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom, let us know. We're on kind of on X at Geek and Streets Podcast. We're on Instagram at Geek and Streets Podcast. And we do have an email, geekandstreetspodcast@gmail.com. So let us know if you see it. Let us know if you are interested in anything that you want to talk about with us.
Who lives in a pineapple under the sea? Aqua. No, that's not the right one.
The Geek in the Streets podcast can be found on Apple, Spotify, and wherever you find your podcasts.
Find us
now.